We're going to be turning all over the place again in our Bibles. We're going to start with Matthew 27, though. So if you'll find Matthew 27, there's a couple of verses there I want you to see. You know, it's really good that you see it with your eyes if you can. I mean, I understand sometimes I'm flipping all over the place, and I understand it's even sometimes I tell you guys, don't worry about flipping there, okay? Because I know we're going to be going here and there. But if you... A lot of times if you can see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears and understand it with your heart, it sinks in. So let's start in Matthew 27. And as you're finding that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a living word, that we can never plumb the depths of it. There's no way that we can answer every question. There's no way that we can ever get to the bottom of it, Lord. There's no way that we can ever completely understand everything in your word. We thank you for that, because if we could, then we would be master over it rather than your word being master over us. But Lord, we do pray for understanding and revelation today, that you would reveal yourself through your word to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, help me to be clear and concise as possible. I know you put so much in my heart with this word this morning. Pray that it will be clear to everyone. And Lord, we pray that you will not just give us head knowledge, but let us take hold of this and apply it to our lives. And Lord, let this make changes. Whatever change it is that you're speaking to our hearts about our own lives, let this become life to us. How we do life together. How we live our lives according to your will and according to your purpose. Lord, we want to get there. We want to be everything you'd have us to be. I know this is part of it. Help us today. Amen. We're continuing on with Son of David. We've talked about David being the great king. We've talked about that he went and took Jerusalem, right? Talked about that last week, how David... took Jerusalem back from the Jebusites, that he built up Jerusalem, that Jesus being the King of Kings, David's greatest son, that he built Jerusalem, and he uses not stones that are carved out by hands, but stones that have living hands, right? That we are the stones that Jesus uses to build up his city, and that the city, the temple, has become a city. We're going to talk about today that David started a new order of worship. He began a new order of worship. After David had taken Jerusalem, the ark still was in Gibeon. And David decided he needed to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. So if you remember the story, he went down and the Philistines had captured the ark at one time. And so David messed up. Let's just put it bluntly. He put the ark on an ox cart and decided to just take the ark up. And when the ox stumbled, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark. Because, I mean, it's a good thing. You don't want the ark of God to fall on the ground, right? Don't want that to happen. And God struck Uzzah and he died. So David feared the Lord, and he went and he decided once again to try it, to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. But this time he followed the Levitical plan, the plan outlined in Exodus and Leviticus. He had the Levites carry the ark. And every six paces, they had a sacrifice. They slaughtered an animal every six paces. And David was out in front of the ark dancing with all of his might. dancing and dancing. And as he was dancing, he was in an ephod, the priestly garment. We'll look at this in a little bit. It's in 1 Chronicles 15 and 16. He had on a priestly garment. Instead, he took off the garments of a king and he put on the garments of a priest. And he led the people out in worship. Now, here's where the change comes in. As they get to Jerusalem, David had put a tent up for the ark. I don't exactly know what the tent looked like. There's not a lot of description of it. It says that he put a tent up. David went and he made sacrifices there in front of the ark. If you remember, Saul got in trouble for that. But David made sacrifices. He gave to the people and he set in order different divisions of Levites to continually play before the ark, to continually bring worship to God. Now, if you remember what the ark used to be in the tabernacle of Moses, there was the holy place where that only the priests could come in, and they could come in and do their thing daily to take care of the lamp and to take care of the bread. And they would come in here, but then you had the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the place that only once a year on the Day of Atonement could and the high priest come in and sprinkle the ark with the blood of the sacrifice to cleanse the sin of the people. One time a year, the ark was in a walled-off, curtained-off place that nobody could get to. It symbolized the presence of God that was in the other place. What David did is he opened the presence of God up for everyone to come and to worship. We're going to get back to that in just a moment, but let's look at Matthew 27. Let me start in verse 50. This is the crucifixion, the very end of the crucifixion. Matthew 27:50. It says, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now that, okay, stop there. We're going to listen together. We're going to read together, okay? That's a really weird verse. Hello? Okay? Tell you, scholars don't exactly know what to do with all of that. But let's try to unpack it just a little bit. I want to show you how the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, the splitting of the veil in the temple from top to bottom, and even the resurrection of these Old Testament saints is a Son of David and passage. This is a Son of David motif, and it has all to do with the fact that Jesus created a new order of worship for us. Flip over to Psalm 18, the psalm that I started the service with. I'm not going to read as much. I wanted to read it to you this at the start of the service so I can point a couple of things out. Psalm 18. Notice this is a psalm of David, right? If you look at the very top of the psalm before the verse 1, it's a psalm of David. That he spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies, from the hand of Saul. Okay? Verse 4, the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. It's very, very similar. Was David almost in death? No, not really. I'm sure he felt like it. But if you read what was happening with Saul and with his enemies, David was in God's hands the whole time. But he's writing this, and it's really a reference, further reference to the Messiah. Verse 7, the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains were trembling, were shaken because he was angry. This is God. Smoke went up from his nostrils. He bowed the heavens and came down, thick darkness under his feet. Does this sound like the earth shaking when Jesus died? A lot of people, they say, when Jesus died and the earth shook, but it's a decreation idea, and it's showing that God was upset. He rode upon the cherubim, flew. He sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy, darkness of water, thick clouds. God was upset. He shook the earth and even split the veil of the temple from top to bottom. No longer was there this holy of holies, because God himself had made a way. Flip over to one other passage and I want to sum it up for you. Flip over to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel. Chapter 37. You probably have heard about this passage before. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. It's like there had been a great battle there, and nobody had come around to ever bury the dead. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? If you ever need to know how to answer God when he asks you a question that you quite don't know the answer to, this is it. Oh, Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath. I will cause breath. The Hebrew is ruach, or the Greek would be pneuma, the spirit, to enter into you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive and that you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. The bones were coming together, bone to its bone. I kind of think they probably sang the skeleton song. Knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Tough crowd, goodness. Behold, sinews were on them, flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe on these slain so that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. They came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And he explains the vision to him. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and hope has perished. We're completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, watch this. Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. I will place you on your own land, and you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Stop right there, just one second. Did you see that? God splits the veil. He all of a sudden opens up the presence of God to come out of the Holy of Holies and to be spread abroad. And what happens? Old Testament saints, all of a sudden the ground shakes, the stones are rolled away, and Old Testament saints come alive. How do I know this is David? Verse 15, the word of the Lord came again to me saying, you son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah, for the sons of Israel, his companions. Take for another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. Join them for yourself one to another into one stick that they may become one in your hand. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. When the sons of your people speak to you saying, will you not declare to us that what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'll take the stick of Joseph and Ephraim. I'll put them with it in the stick of Judah and make them one stick. They will be one in my hand. Sum it up here. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. This is verse 22. And one king will be king for all of them. They'll no longer be two nations. Verse 24, my servant David will be king over them. And they will all have one shepherd. They will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. How do we know that's Jesus? Israel didn't exist at the time. Israel had already been taken over by Assyria and had been no more. This can only be fulfilled by Jesus. And it was because Jesus instituted a new order of worship. Now flip over, we're going to spend the rest of the time in 1 Chronicles. Look at 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15. So what was David's order of worship? First of all, it was focused on worship. It was focused on worship. Look at chapter 16. The whole thing is 15 and 16, but look at chapter 16. Verse 1, they brought the ark of God, placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Verse 4, and David appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate, to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And he starts naming them. Verse 6, Benaniah and Jehaziel, priests, blew trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then you notice David's assigning all of these things to different people. He assigns all these different tasks to be done continually before the presence of God. Not somewhere else, but right in God's presence. Worship has to be central. Let me ask this. What is the most important part of this service? Say, Jesus, right. But you know, it's worship. Let me tell you why. When we come into God's presence, the whole idea is for us to worship Him, to give something to Him. That's what worship is about. In the Old Testament, what they would do is they would sacrifice. We think of sacrifice as a lot to do with the forgiveness of sins, and that was the case. But a sacrifice was literally a sacrifice. They would have, whether it's a lamb or an ox or a bird, they would sacrifice this thing, and no, they no longer had that for themselves. Maybe it was an ox. That could have fed the family for I don't know how long, but they killed it and gave it to the Lord. Maybe it was a lamb. They could have used the wool for clothes. They could have eaten it, but no, they killed the lamb and they gave it to the Lord. It was a sacrifice. They were coming to worship and giving to the Lord. Unfortunately, I think the church in the States has become very, very consumeristic. They come and they look and say, what can the church give to me? What can God give to me? We come and we say, you know what? What's the pastor going to give to me today in the sermon? And it's good. David gave to the people from the table of the Lord. Okay? We should be getting from the Lord. But that should not be our main priority. Our main priority is to come and to worship and to bring to God. What are you bringing to Him today to worship? And I'm not just talking about tithes and offerings. That's great. It's nice. But the most important thing is to bring you. To bring your hearts. To lay everything down at His feet and say, I don't care what it is in my heart. I'm bringing it to You. I'm giving it to You. I'm giving my life. I'm giving my time. I'm giving my energy and my strength. I'm laying it down before You in worship. I am Yours, O God. As Paul wrote in Romans 12, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in His sight, which is your spiritual service of worship. The most important thing is our worship of the Lord. If we are coming and expecting to get, I hope you do get. When you get in His presence, He'll give you stuff. He's a good dad who loves to give good gifts to His kids. But when you're coming with the attitude of, I want to get, my name is Jimmy, what are you going to give me? That's the wrong attitude to come into God's house with. As we can see with David, the order of worship was about worship. The first order of business was worship. It was worship in God's presence. And God has torn the veil that we can worship like David did in the presence of God by His Holy Spirit that He breathed into us. People, that's cool. That is such good news. And we get to worship in His presence. And they did it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm going to ask why, if David did it in the old covenant, why are we not doing it now? And none of us can do it individually. This is not a, they couldn't do it individually. It took the whole community to do that, to worship God 24/7. Our bodies are not built to worship. I mean, I guess, you know, we could each take 12 hours a day on the piano. I'll take the day shift. You know, there's a church in Kansas City. It's a IHOP, International House of Prayer, and they took this to heart. You know, since September 19th of 1999, they've had 24-hour worship and prayer every day, every night, since 1999. 24 hours a day. And it's not one person. They have teams. They'll have, you know, somebody will take a couple hours here, another person a couple hours there, and they have people just come in, and they pray, and they worship. And this is building the kingdom of God. This is worshiping as David did 24/7. Why would we do any less? Don't postpone that to heaven. Jesus opened a living way for us to have the Holy Spirit. If David could do it without them having the Holy Spirit in their hearts, it's about worship. You know, there is an element in there that it's about the Word too. Our hearts have to be right in that we come to the Lord saying, what can we give, not what can we receive? This whole 1 Chronicles 15 and 16 is all about worship, but there is a couple of verses. Verse 2 of 16 says, when David had finished offering the burnt offering, the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. Don't know for sure, but I would bet that a lot of that came from the sacrifices. I mean, if they're making a sacrifice every six paces, they've got a lot of meat to deal with. I can't say that for sure. I'm guessing, all right? So don't take that and say, you know what, Ryan's reading into this. I'm guessing, all right? But it would make perfect sense that it was part of the sacrifice. This is part of the worship service. They received from the table of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? We should receive from God's table. But it's not the main course, the main thing. Everything is couched in this worship, and a worship of our hearts, this attitude of our hearts that we're coming and we're laying ourselves down. We're laying everything else down. Yes, we're laying our possessions down, but it's all a sacrifice to God, and then God doesn't leave us stranded. He says, okay, I'm going to give to you too. And he gives from his table. And a lot of that is in the preaching. A lot of that is the Word, and it's the meat of the Word. It's the milk of the Word. It is in our prayers. If someone comes in with a need, oh, praise God, let them come up to the table of the Lord, and let's pray, and let's let that need be met. But as Christians, now I'm not saying non-Christians. Non-Christians, if they come in with a need, praise God, let's meet it. But those of us who call themselves sons and daughters of the Most High God, we come with an attitude of worship. That's number one. Then yes, God is going to give to us from his table. He's going to meet our needs by his Spirit that he has given to us already. Praise God that the Spirit of God is in this place and in this temple. Look at verse 37 with me. We have worship, we have the Word, we also have a witness. So David left Asaph and his relatives there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark continually, as every day's work required. Obed-Edom with the 68 relatives, Obed-Edom also the son of Jeduthun and Hosa as gatekeepers. He left Zadok the priest and his relatives the priest before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place, which was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offerings continually. morning and evening according to all that is written in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 43. So they're continuing. Verse 42, they were Heman and Jeduthun with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud with the instruments for the songs of God, the sons of Jeduthun, and for the gate. Then all the people departed each to his house, and David returned to bless his household. So you see this? It's all couched in worship. Everything is worship all around. But even David left at some time. And he went to go to bring the blessings of God that he received in worship to bless his household. I think of it this way. We should come and we should be in the presence of God like Moses was in the presence of God. Anybody remember what happened to Moses when he got in the presence of God? His face began to shine. So much that when he walked out into the crowd of the people would look at him and go, "We can't bear to look at you." And he'd have to wear a veil over his face. Are you shining when you leave here? We should be in the presence of God in such a way that when we walk out of here and we go to wherever it is that we're going to go, just as David went to bless his household, when we go to our work, or when we go to our homes, when we go to the store, when we go to our relative's house, when we go to a sporting event, when we go and we're taking care of people, when we go and we're at our kids' things, the athletic events, and what do people see you and notice there's a difference? They wouldn't have noticed as much in David's day because they might have been in the presence of the ark, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. When Jesus tore that, when God tore that veil at Jesus' death and he opened up a new and living way for us to be in his presence 24/7, we should be changed in such a way that everybody knows and everybody sees. Guys, look, I'm not saying I've arrived. And it's not something I can do myself. You see, there's a corporate anointing. And when everybody gets together and everybody's heart is focused on the Lord and we all come together with this sacrifice of praise and worship, then God will pour out his power it's almost like a synergistic fashion. You know that word synergy? I love that. I love synergy. Okay? It's like this, you know, and I don't quote me exactly on the numbers, but one horse might be able to pull one ton of stuff. But you put two horses together, and if they don't pull two tons, they'll pull something like four tons. Because synergy. And God's anointing is very, very similar. One person can have an anointing. And I can get in my prayer closet and I can get in the presence of God. But when I get in a whole group of people where everybody is focused and where everybody's worshiping, where everybody has that same presence of God, man, let me tell you, the level of anointing just gets multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied till it's so thick you can feel it. And we should be there because Jesus has opened a new and living way. Flip over to Acts. I'm going to finish up with this right here. Acts chapter number 2. Verse 43, Acts 2:43. You should know this passage. We've talked about it recently, the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. Verse 43 says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common. It sounded like what I was just talking about. They began selling their property and possessions, were sharing them with all as anyone might have any need. They came to worship with everything they had, people. Their lives, their property, their possessions, their gifts and talents that they've been given by God, they came with everything to sacrifice for the Lord. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is just me, but I believe the reason, one of the reasons it says they went house to house day by day is because they leaked. They'd get into the presence of God and they'd be filled up, and then they get out into the world and they're giving and they're giving and they're giving, and they realize, you know what? I got to get some more. Where's the meeting tonight? I need more of this presence of God. I need to be in His presence 24/7. Did you get that? Day by day. We need to be in Acts 2, 43 through 47, church. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of David. David opened up a new order for worship. The day of Pentecost, you see the absolute fulfillment of that. When Jesus opens up heaven, pours out the Holy Spirit, and gives us the greatest gift, to have God living in us. That when we worship Him, we're not doing it just because there's a bunch of laws and legal stuff for the reason why we have to, but because we want to, because the Spirit of God inside us cries out to worship. So let's worship together. Let's worship how David did. Let's worship how they did in Acts 2, 42 through 47. Let's come to the Lord with everything that we have. And realize that if we do that, if our hearts are right, we come not as consumers, but we come as givers. And we lay it down before the Lord that God's going to bless. And He's going to give back. But that's not the reason we come. We come to give. And when we go to give. We come back in to give some more, and God will fill us back up. Because the more you give, the more God will enlarge your container to give more. Jesus opened a new order of worship. Let's enter into that. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray right now that You will work in the hearts of each person here. Lord, show us, every one of us, Lord, me included. I'm not exempt. That's why I'm down here with everybody today. Lord, I'm not exempt from this. Show each one of us how when we come into Your house to worship together, Lord, show us what we need to lay down before You. Show us how we need to come in with an attitude of giving. To first of all, give our lives, our hearts, our attitudes, our fears, our doubts, our pain, our joy, our faith, our everything in us. Lord, show us what we have not given and how we need to give it. Our possessions, our money, our time. Show us how we can lay everything before You to worship You. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us. Lord, meet with us. Lord, no longer be far off. When we come together in worship, be near to us. Let your Spirit come, O Lord, and even fill this building. Let it be as it was in the days of the Great Awakening, where even the buildings looked as they had fire on the rooftops of the building because the Spirit of God was so powerful inside. Do that here with us, O Lord. I feel like the wind of the Lord is moving. He's pouring out his Spirit. If you need it, just grasp it. The Lord wants to give to everyone here what they need. Just receive it from him right now. I don't have to pray for you. The Lord's here to meet your needs. Holy Lord, come. Meet every need in this place. Physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs. Meet every need here this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for it. Change us in your presence, O Lord, that we might reflect you everywhere we go. Amen. Does anybody have a... Let me turn this off.